Hi, welcome to The Landscape, a Cranes Cleveland podcast. I'm Dan Paletta. Thanks for being with us. The Landscape is brought to you with the support of Delta Dental of Ohio. Find out more at deltadentaloh.com. Dr. Kirsten Ellenbogen wants the community to understand that the potential of the Great Lakes Science Center is an educational tool that extends beyond a school field trip or a weekend outing. As she completes her first decade as the center's president and CEO, we've asked Dr. Ellenbogen to join us to talk more about the center being a place that encourages careers in advanced manufacturing for diverse middle school youth and families, as well as a space that can be a learning resource to better understand emerging technologies. Dr. Ellenbogen, thanks for being with us today.
Delighted to be here.
You've been at this job about a decade. You think you have the hang of it?
I'd say I'm always learning, and I'm delighting in the process.
So you've obviously been doing this for a decade. How has this job emerged and changed and grown during that period?
What's been exciting at Great Lakes Science Center is seeing how much we can collaborate in the community and how things that we might have called a partnership 10 years ago, now we've taken that to a whole new level, where we are fully integrated in with school districts that, you know, we used to do field trips with, and now we have extensive curriculum partnerships with other community partners, nonprofits like us, libraries, recreation centers from the city, you know, all organizations that we knew and had connections to, and now that partnership is at just a much more powerful level.
What do you think made that change? I know it seemed for a period that we didn't have as many partnerships, that people, you know, organizations just did their thing on their own. But something seems to have changed in the last decade.
I want to give everyone credit where it's due. So let me say three big areas. The first is expectation among leadership. I sat down with key foundations, with terrific board leadership, really a whole range of leaders in the community when I first got to Cleveland, you know, my first 90 days going around and talking to everybody. And I heard loud and clear that there's an expectation and a need in this community for better collaboration. Second then was this willingness to say, you know, being best is not done in a singular way. Being best is about lifting the organization and everyone around you together, right? Our community doesn't get better if all we're focused on is Great Lakes Science Center being better. And so there was a humbleness that came into the conversation, a step back on egos, a willingness to set aside something that we may be doing because a partner in the community is better positioned to do it. So that second piece was critical. The third piece I'd say is really that there are new leaders in town when you look at the nonprofits, the education organizations, the science organizations, and there is an eagerness to collaborate that I think if you go back 15 years, you'd find some different leaders in place who didn't encourage their organizations to participate in the true collaboration in the same way that I find my peers are collaborating right now.
Mark Boner wrote a profile of the Science Center at the beginning of March for Cleveland.com, and he quoted you, and I'm paraphrasing, you said there's a lot of problem solvers, but what we need is problem identifiers. So how does the Science Center play that role as a problem identifier?
Some of it comes from the collaboration. If you step back in an ecosystem, and that's really what we have here in Northeast Ohio, I've loved moving to Ohio and seeing that it's not individual cities, but instead this idea of looking at a region. When you do that, it gives you an ability to step back and say, let's do a, you know, mapping of the gaps. Let's do mapping of where strengths and opportunities are, not just for one organization or a cluster of organizations, but across the whole region. And we have found some real power there. That means that we've all been willing to be problem identifiers, not just, you know, rushing up, following money and being problem solvers, even if that's not the right problem to solve, right? It's very easy to say, as an organization like ours that has so many resources and talents and eagerness to participate, it's important to make sure if the community voice is not there, if those that you're supporting in the community and educating in the community are not part of the conversation, identifying what the problems are you're trying to solve, well, you're gonna solve the wrong problem.
The Great Lakes Science Center describes its mission as one to make science, technology, engineering, and math come alive with guiding principles that include helping people learn STEM by doing STEM, working to cultivate creative, innovative, critical thinkers for the 21st century, and bringing people together by creating welcoming, fun, and a high-quality guest experience. That's quite a lot. Talk about the balance, though, you have to strike. Some museums you just go to and you just sort of enjoy things and look at them. But this is a museum that's both fun and educational.
Museums have spent so many decades going back and forth on the education and fun question that we even have our word for it, edutainment. Yeah.
I like that.
Well, and it's exemplifies the answer to that question, which is you can do both. It makes everything harder to show, yes, here are learning outcomes. Here's what families or school groups are getting out of the experience. Here's what our partners, you know, when we're working with scientists, training them on science communication. All of those activities have learning outcomes. And we prototype, test, reiterate on things, put it through our own engineering design process, and make sure that it's also fun, that we have found the best way to pull that activity, that program, that exhibition together. And it makes, you know, part of our values is that we're a learning organization, not just because we're a learning environment where others come to learn, but because we as an organization, the staff that make up Great Lakes Science Center, we all agree that we're learners every day.
Last summer, the Science Center hosted its second annual Manufacturing Day. It was an event presented by Rockwell Automation and Swage Lock. It was a showcase of modern manufacturing designed to show area students and give them exposure to future career possibilities. You mentioned there's a lot of collaborators in that you work with. Swage Lock, Timken, Lincoln were all involved. Talk about that concept or notion of working with those kinds of partners in the private sector that you work with in order to help further job development and those kinds of things and just educational knowledge.
We've hit a great aha moment in our partnership with many corporations around the region where they're reading the same research that we are that looks at that long set of pathways into these terrific advanced manufacturing jobs, you know, these terrific STEM careers. And we are all seeing that the research shows you've got to start early. You've got to be there often. You've got to show children that there are people who look like them, who act like them, who come from a similar background doing these jobs. And that changes the workforce development conversation. This is not about getting a certain experience in your high school or after high school. This isn't about training after college. This is about helping that fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth grader shape their identity and know that there's someone who can do STEM. Now, we've been talking about that for some time at the Science Center, and we've found terrific partnership with the kinds of corporations you've been listing that say, yeah, absolutely, we get it. We have got to start younger because, you know, and there's an economic argument here, right? Every dollar you invest while those children are younger, where that future workforce is younger, the more you help them come into high school already thinking, yeah, I can do this. I can engineer things. I can build things, I can make things, I can take things apart, put it back together, right? Coming in with that confidence and that it's not just a small segment of the youth in our community, but that it's broad, right? That really led to a terrific partnership that you now see in Manufacturing Day and across a whole range of our work.
This notion of teaching young people that they can do things, I think many of us grew up in households where you would never think to yourself, well, you know what, maybe I could be an engineer. Maybe I could be a chemist. It's just not part of our landscape. You know, the Science Center says those possibilities are there for you, even if your dad or mother wasn't one of those people.
Exactly. What we're trying, and so much of this is educating and getting parents excited. And we've had programs over the years that it's almost as important, really it is as important, to make sure that those influential adults, and they might be parents, they might be grandparents, they might be coaches, they might be religious leaders. There are a lot of influential adults that surround youth in our community, and getting them on board that these careers that are rich in science, technology, engineering, and math will dominate in the future. They're already dominating, and it's going to be, these skills are going to be integrated into so many different jobs. It's hard to imagine that future. Everything is changing so rapidly. But the more that adults can surround youth with us and say, yep, there's a whole new world out there. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be changing. These are the kinds of skills you need for a STEM-rich future.
This episode of The Landscape is brought to you by Delta Dental of Ohio. With offices in Cleveland, Cincinnati, and Dublin, Delta Dental of Ohio is proud to be an industry leader in dental benefits. Together with our customers, providers, and employees, we build a higher standard of oral health care in our communities. And we are more than dental. At Delta Dental of Ohio, we work with entrepreneurs, innovators, and changemakers who are committed to improving the health and well-being of all Buckeyes. Together, we are building healthy, smart, vibrant communities for all.
Dr. Kirsten Ellenbogen joins us. She's the president and CEO of the Great Lakes Science Center. She joins us today for the Landscape, a Cranes Cleveland podcast. Doctor, one of those partnerships is with Magnet. There's that wonderful new center in Hough. How did that partnership come about, and what kind of results are you looking for both organizations?
Talk about great leadership. Talk about willing to set your ego aside. Talk about willing to look at what the community needs, not what a singular organization needs. That's what really shaped this partnership. It's, you know, a whole range of just tremendous leadership at Magnet, a lot of enthusiasm at Great Lakes Science Center coming together and saying, yeah, absolutely, let's talk to the community, let's figure out what people need, right? And Magnet is in such a special position in that community. You know, they really realized early on that you can't just build a headquarters right there in a former CMSD school with houses surrounding you on three sides and pretend that you're simply one more organization moving into the heart of Midtown, right? There was a lot of embracing of the fact, and Ethan knew this, that this is not the typical location, and really being willing to say, we're going to figure out something that not only helps Magnet thrive in the future, but helps the community around us thrive. And they realized early on that, you know, we're a terrific partner for that. Our ability to go in and work with community leadership, work with the broad public at festivals, at events, at gatherings, get evaluation data to figure out what they need. It really, that partnership grew out of a common love of embracing community, a common love of good data, a common love of great experiences. It's an experience that, it's a partnership that was really meant to be.
We've mentioned the fact that we're trying to get a more diverse background of people involved in these organizations. Certainly that's what Magnet does. How does your institution work with students from backgrounds that aren't traditionally represented in STEM to encourage them to take that pathway to become involved in STEM?
It starts with training. It starts with making sure that our staff understand the richness of resources that our community partners and the schools and the students and the families we serve bring to our experiences. And so it starts with everything from spending time in the community, spending time getting community feedback, to making sure we've got training that understands that any given day that a child comes into a classroom, whether it's, you know, a program here at the Science Center or at their school, that there are a lot of things coming with them, right? And that means that, take our after-school program, for example. Food is a big part of our after-school program. Why? Well, because that child may have come for a free hot breakfast and gotten, you know, a lunch provided. But, you know, they're really extending through the day. And the more we can provide them with food in the after-school program, because they may not have as great of a food opportunity when they get back home, right? That's an important part. It's as important as making sure that we've got high-end 3D printers, great CNC routers for them to use, and training for them. You have to support the entire child that you're working with. You have to work with families as they come. And we spend a lot of time making sure that we're attentive to that.
One of the things Great Lakes Science Center works on with the Cleveland Metropolitan School District is this robotics initiative. You sponsor four high school robotics teams. They meet and build those robots in the Science Center in the new Rockwell Automation Robotics Room. What kind of impact has it had on the participants to be able to do that?
Well, you may have seen some of the press. We're extremely proud of these youth who continue to just exceed all expectations we have for that program. Our goal was to respond to the request from Cleveland Metro School District, where they said, look, we need strength in our robotics teams. It can't just be one child leading the charge, and if that child goes off and does something else, the whole team falls apart. We don't have the money to invest in high-end robotics labs in every single one of our schools that might then not get used the next year. How do we have a centralized support for this? So we are that after-school home for these Cleveland teams that come together at the Science Center. And they have done everything from just excel, jump in so quickly to competitions that are dominated by schools and communities with far more resources than what they've been used to working with in the past, to excelling when we say, okay, we're going to bring you together in the summer. And this is a very long story that I won't go in today, but I encourage you to take a look. These youth, when we've said, okay, we're going to bring you together over the summer, we're going to support you to continue working together in your teams, but you've got to come up with that thing you're going to do that gives back to the world. Like, what are you going to do that makes the world a better place? And from that, they are now building prosthetics for other children like them and changing lives. And that's not an extreme extrapolation on what they're doing. They are genuinely changing lives of the children they're working with in creating prosthetics. It's been an extraordinary program.
We talked about this notion of striking that balance between fun and education, and things are changing all the time. And we talk about a museum being a much more integrative, hands-on experience than it used to be. What's that challenge like to make sure you're always up to date and relevant, given that technology changes so quickly?
Yeah, some of the way we make sure that we're staying up to date and relevant is to not put the very latest hot tech in the museum, because you're going to have something even cooler, even newer about a month later at home. Right?
Right.
But what we're trying to do is make sure that youth understand the foundations of that families come in and get to play with things that go into that next hot tech item. And blockchain's been a great example of that, right? We really worked with the community growing around Cleveland to say blockchain's an important part of tech future. We said, great, let's dive into that and figure out, how do you explain blockchain? How do you explain the value of blockchain? Started working with Cleveland eighth graders. And let me tell you, there are now a lot of Cleveland eighth graders who can walk around and explain blockchain in a much more effective way than most of the adults you're going to run into, right?
I need to borrow one of those kids.
Well, and we've taken that show on the road and done it at local universities, right, to really... Our role in helping people understand the concept so that they can take it to the next level and whatever, right? It's that foundational skill to wrap your head around it, to build those engineering design skills, to build and understand those basic coding skills so that no matter what new thing is coming along, you really get on top of that. You can really figure out, great, I'm going to leapfrog that and take it to the new thing. That's what we're helping youth do.
For those landscape listeners who were around Cleveland in the 1980s, there wasn't a whole lot happening on the lakefront property where the Science Center is located. Now you and the Rock Hall are really sort of a hub of that particular district. Talk about the importance of being in that particular spot and why it's worked for the Science Center so well.
So many downtown waterfront areas have science centers as part of the revitalization. And I know that's because so many cities recognize that when you bring families together and bring them into a new area, it spreads from there, right? Just getting people in the region to come to North Coast Harbor more frequently is an important part of the solution in making sure downtown stays active. And what a perfect partner we have in the Rock Hall next door, because the majority of the Rock Hall audience, right, is really coming from a distance. The majority of our audience is coming local. And we work to see how much crossover we can get between those audiences. The revitalization that Cumberland Development led on North Coast Harbor with Voinovich Park, you know, the fact that you can go play bocce ball, you can play volleyball, there are public bathrooms there. Those may seem like small things, but they are part of that collaborative formula that really makes North Coast Harbor come alive. And if you have not been down here in the summer on a beautiful day, watching families, you know, get over to the marina and rent a paddle boat, go over and have lunch on, you know, outdoors at Nuevo, follow that up with a photo in front of the Cleveland sign, right? This is a lot of different aspects coming together to make sure that this is an incredibly appealing place to be.
Attendance pre-pandemic was around 300,000 a year. Have you gotten back to around that number?
Well, in fact, we've been back to that number for a while. It was really about mid fiscal year 22 for us, when we hit our stride coming back to that fiscal 19 levels. And in fact, what I'm excited about is now, as we're watching the numbers come in, and we're in fiscal 23 now, month by month, we're not just hitting our pre-pandemic number of feet through the door, we're exceeding it. And that's bolstered by, you know, terrific data that's come through on how people are spending their money when they come back to cultural attractions like Great Lakes Science Center. So even before we got back to the number of feet through the door, our attendance numbers reaching pre-pandemic levels, we were already reaching that admission level and bringing in the same revenue level as before. Part of it is we weren't closed that long. You know, we closed March 12th. We reopened June 1st for families with camps. And then by July 1st, the full building was open and operating again. We've had strict safety measures in place. We kept trust. And even national surveys are showing this. Museums tend to be a high trust organization, one of the highest trust organizations in a community. And through the pandemic, those trust levels went up. So, you know, yes, it's Great Lakes Science Center. Yes, it's a national trend. And we're just pleased that the community has responded so strongly.
Your neighbors at the Rock Hall recently announced they're going to be doing some renovating and expanding. Do you envision any kind of upgrade or expansion for your facility in the near future?
We just finished pouring some exciting concrete. And let me tell you, concrete was exciting in this instance because it allowed us to put in a floor and create terrific new space on two different levels from a former multi-level area that wasn't fully ADA accessible. And that really bothered us. So we've been able to move ahead, create this new space. We've already opened a new robotics facility. We've got the Rockwell Automation Robotics Room. That's where our after-school group has now moved in and fully occupied. And then we also just opened the TransDigm Group Learning Center, which is another space. The robotics students use it. Our camp students use it. Our classrooms use it. I mean, it's just really been wonderful. And that is all literally the base of what you'll see coming next year is our new emerging tech exhibition. So there's always something new at the Science Center. If you haven't been here recently, you probably haven't seen the new Science of Rock and Roll exhibits we installed last year. If you haven't come in recently, you know, there's so many things I can list. You're going to want to see what we have this summer with activities for our anniversary of our Apollo capsule. So we're excited, and it's thrilling to see the Rock Hall expanding next door.
Dr. Kirsten Ellenbogen, thanks for sharing some of the news about the Great Lakes Science Center, a wonderful institution for us here in Northeast Ohio. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Daniel. This is terrific.
Dr. Kirsten Ellenbogen is the president and CEO of the Great Lakes Science Center. She joined us today for The Landscape, a Cranes Cleveland podcast. We're presented with the support of Delta Dental of Ohio. There's more information. Just visit deltadentaloh.com. I'm Dan Paletta. Thank you for joining us, and we'll talk again soon.